Well, we have been teaching on what is faith and really looking at dissecting. We've been spending a lot of time dealing on the areas of confession because there really is so much in the Scripture talks about it. Yet it's a subject that's almost not taught worldwide in the church, not much said about it. And yet without confession, you can't get born again. And most of the church doesn't even realize that. People that preach salvation, they don't realize, that you're through your confession that we're saved. The heart believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What is not spoken doesn't come into existence. And so that's the operation of the kingdom of God, and we need to understand that and get a hold of it. Now, we've been dealing with the last couple of weeks of talking about, meditating on the Word of God. And we looked at what God had talked to Joshua in the Old Testament, talked to him there about what to do. There's a principle that's laid out there about meditating on the Word. He said day and night. We also looked at Deuteronomy, what God had spoken to Israel as a nation concerning what they were supposed to do to get the Word into them. And really, it falls right in line with what he told Joshua. And so, but I want to look at something in his opening today, is the first psalm. Because when I find this very interesting, because we have the first psalm that we have written down here that David gave. And so we want to look at this psalm as what it says. Now, in the first psalm, it's going to start out, it says in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Let me just say this, is scornful, it says here. Scornful means is an open dislike or disrespect or derision, often mixed with indignation. It's an expression of contempt, an object of extreme disdain. That's going on a lot today. And, you need to guard yourself against that because of the parties today and all is going on. There's a lot of people saying stuff. We need to be careful about these things that we don't get over. This is one of the things that I find with myself is I don't watch the news much of anything or what goes on with the news because I don't want to get over into that thing and getting in there where you start hating people and you're so mad about what goes on. It's one of the things. There's people, on radio and stuff and TV, and they talk about things and they're true and they're right. But I don't need to be listening to them all the time complaining about what's going wrong. I don't need to hear that, neither do you. You don't need to be sitting. You can't be meditating on the Word day and night and be over there listening to that a lot. That'll never happen. And I find I do much better when I stay over on the side of the meditation of the Word. And there's nothing wrong with watching some things or listening to what's things going on. But you need to be careful. You have to guard yourself. And if you don't guard yourself, you're a problem. Because you will start. What'll happen? You'll get over in the wrong areas. But we find here, the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you ever think the counsel? In other words, he's talking about what the ungodly say. That's their counsel. What they're believing and they're saying. You don't walk in it. In other words, you don't practice those things. And so you want to stay out of that place. He goes on to tell us here about staying away from that. He said, no standing in the paths of sinners. He said, don't sit in the sea of the scornful. But he makes this statement. He said, but his delight. In other words, what this man that's blessed. So we can know this. If you desire to be blessed, this is what you need to delight. We delight in the law of the Lord. Now we would say in the New Testament, the Word of God. We delight in the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to delight in. It says, in His law or in His Word, He meditates day and night. Now, that word meditation, I thought was really good. I have a Bible that's pretty worn out, but it's my reading Bible. I really like it. I've had it for numbers of years, and I read out of it, but it's sort of coming apart because I know that Bible. I know where stuff's at, and I'm just used to it. But I use that for my regular reading and things, and the cover's getting sort of shot and everything else. But I looked in the footnote. It had a footnote there on meditate, and it said to meditate, ponders by talking to himself. Says ponders by talking to himself. So see, you're supposed to talk to yourself. You're going to talk something. You're going to meditate on things. You're going to think on things and then say things. You're going to do it. One of the things that you need to know which is good or bad, if you're not meditating on the Word or you're meditating on the wrong thing, what you spend your time thinking and meditating and ponder upon, eventually you're going to plant that seed. Eventually you're going to speak it. And you need to know, most of what gets put in your heart is what you say. Not what I say, what you say. See, it doesn't matter what I believe. We can sit here, you and I can sit here and read the Scriptures. But what am I saying? Am I speaking what the Scriptures say about things? Or am I talking what I believe about things? or what I pondered on. And so you always want to guard yourself for good or bad, the seed that you plant. Understand this, you're planting seed. We're talking about you're planting seed. Meditation is about concentrating on seed. The word's a seed. Understand this, you are not going to produce differently than the seed you put in your heart. You are not going to produce differently. It won't come up. You wouldn't go out here to a farmer, and a farmer's out here planting wheat, and you went up and told him, you know what, you better watch it, corn might come up. He'd think you're an idiot. You know, people who concentrate and meditate on sickness and stuff all the time, I know what's going to come up. I don't know why there's people trying to get healing, and all the time they're planting seeds of sickness. All the time they're planting seeds of doubt and unbelief. They're talking that junk all the time. They're talking about all kind of stuff, and then they turn around and act like they're going to get another crop, that if they get somebody to lay hands on their empty head, they're going to get something. You're going to produce what's planted, always. The ground does not determine, your heart does not determine what comes out of it. The seed does. The seed determines what grows, not the heart. The heart is merely ground. And whatever you put in it, it produces good or bad. This is why the meditation thing is so important. Meditating and pondering on the Word. I'm concentrating concerning what the Word of God says. I'm meditating on it, thinking about it, getting it into my heart. Why? Because that's what I want to produce. See, many people, they have what they call their church life, and then they have this other life that they live 95% of the time, because maybe 5% of the time they're in church. When they come to church, they have all these nice religious statements they make and all these things and talk about what they believe. But in their regular life, they're walking around talking just like everybody else, junk, talking junk. And they're walking around talking that stuff all the time. They're walking around saying that stuff all the time. And you know what? That's what's in them. That's what gets in them. That's what gets in them. And we're gonna look at Scripture, and you'll find it's true. We need to get over it. So, in other words, if we are messed up in an area, what we need to do is to get over and start to get, just like if you'd spent 95% of your time over here talking this junk, you're going to have to get over here where you start getting yourself, spend a lot of time over the years of meditating and thinking on the Word, getting yourself over there in that. You know, I found when I first started off as a Christian, I had to really keep myself concentrated over there a lot under that area, because, you know, I didn't want what I had in my sinful life. I didn't want that junk back. So I had to get the Word of God into me. And I spent a lot of time on there when I was even like on my jobs and working. You know, sometimes, you know, I have certain scriptures that I would down. Sometimes I'd write things down. So during the day, if I got, I could get out, look at it, get myself back over my thinking, the area I wanted to go into. And so you're going to have to do that. Get yourself and get the seed in you that you want. There's people who want to prosper in life, and God wants us to prosper, because this scripture tells us, this person meditates day and night. Verse 3 says, what that person's like, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you want to be like the tree planted by rivers of water, or do you want to be the tree in the desert? Which one do you want to be? You decide that. God doesn't decide that. The devil don't decide that. You decide what tree you want to be and where you want to be planted. What do you want to be planted in? In other words, what's going to grow? What's going to happen? See, we determine that. You're going to be a tree, he said, planted by the river water. What, this one that meditates on the Word? He said, that brings forth fruit in its season. It says, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There's lots of people who want to prosper, and this is one of the things. You can sit and give all the money you want. And these preachers tell you, just because you give money, you're going to turn around and get money back. If you ain't meditating on the Word, and you're out there in the desert, you're going to get what your words say, not what your money you planted. You're going to get what your words, you're going to produce your words. I can't stick money in my heart. Money is no more than an action of what I believe. And if I'm not believing right and I'm putting money out, the two don't run together. They do not line up together. That's not actions of my faith. What I really believe is what's going on in my heart. That's why you want to get the heart change. See, it's easy for preachers. It's one of the things that the Lord was upset. And when he talked to me back in the end of 2014, he said, the preachers just take advantage of his people. Just keep telling them they put money and it's going to work. He said, if it don't get changed on the inside, it ain't going to work. He said, they're dishonest. He said, they've learned how to get money from people doing that. We need to understand. You need to get it. You need a heart change. See, most people are thinking and believing wrong, and that's why when it comes to prosperity and things, it's hard for them to get a hold of because they have too much junk that was in there. You got to get that out of you. You got to meditate on the Word and get things planted in you. You know, it's just like, you know, we know how they're natural weeds. Isn't it amazing how weeds grow up and do it? But you can get the seed of the Word of God in you to will drive the weeds right out of you. You get the Word in you and you get completely meditating and you get over there. So when your giving is in actions of line of what it's in your heart, you're going to have production. You're going to produce. And that's how you do it. It's not something. This is how the kingdom operates. It's how it works. So you get the Word, you meditate, you begin saying the Word, you start talking over yourself. When you don't have two nickels to rub together and you're saying, praise God, I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Glory to God. And it don't look like a thing prospers you put your hand to. But you start saying those words because God said those words. You be like the tree planted by the river of water. You start saying over yourself concerning things. You start speaking life over you instead of death over you. Well, it don't seem out every time I do something. It don't work. I just don't understand. Well, I understand. You've got really good at producing that fruit. You've got that growing inside of you and it's producing and it's producing and it's working great. Your faith is a working, producing what's killing you. But it's working. People say, I don't believe in this faith and confession. I've never met a person that didn't say that was producing stuff really good with their faith. They were doing it really well. There's ways that you have to do things. It is not easy to start off concerning meditation. When you're starting off and really trying to change a whole way of thinking of life, it's really hard to do. You know, when I came in the kingdom, thank God, I heard the message of faith right away and about my confession and what I was saying and planting stuff in my heart. I was taught that right away so I could start off doing that. Many people, they got born again and they've just been in religious churches. That's all they've been in. And so they got all practiced in confessing religious beliefs and all kinds of stuff. And they're good at it. They can produce their junk like crazy. And then when somebody comes along and says, you know, well, this the Bible said this way. Oh, no. They got all this inside of them that's wrong, but that's their faith and their belief. Don't you touch it. Don't you touch my stuff. Don't you touch it. See, but if you want to change, you're going to have to change what's on the inside first. Everybody wants to do something on the outside, get the outside to change. The outside changes from the inside. And I'm going to tell you this. It's just like a farmer planting seed out here and around. It takes time. And we're an impatient society. We want instant gratification. I want it now. And that becomes a hard thing. But I want to tell you what, I'm just honest with you. If you will start to meditate on the Word of God and take time to do it and spend time over the years of prayer and meditation, you won't have such a hard time with your flesh. You'll learn to get patient. You'll learn to stand. But if you don't go over in the meditation things and going over in there, it won't work for you. If you don't do that, you're always going to be struggling, trying to make this thing work, trying to do it. Take the time to do it. Take time to meditate on the Word of God. Take time to just get something. You know, you'd be better off getting two or three scriptures where you just got a hold of it in Revelation than sitting down and just reading and trying to study and hear things all that. Get a hold of something from the Bible and then where you turn around and you know that it's true, that it's right, where you can turn around and produce something out of that thing. Too many people are trying to get too much stuff, listening to too many things that ain't going to take you nowhere. Sit down, get something. I'm going to tell you what. Sit down and get something. You know what? If you're sick, sit down and get healing. Quit messing around. Who cares? Who cares about, you know, what's going to happen in the tribulation? Sit down, get yourself well. Wake up. The devil will keep you reading stuff in the Bible where it'll keep you over there where you never get a hold of anything. If you need money, sit down. Find out how to prosper. Get it in yourself to go do it. Quit chasing everything else. Find out what your need is. Stop and camp down and get it. Too many people, you know, it's this shotgun Christianity. It's a million pellets out there that ain't hitting anything, and if anything it does hit, it doesn't do nothing to it. I'm going to tell you what, get up a rifle and blow a hole in that thing in your life that's been holding you back. You know, get at it. You know, set yourself with it. Get some scriptures on it. Meditate on those scriptures. They get so darn real inside of you that, my God, you can't see yourself any way than blessed in what those scriptures say, that you wouldn't say a different thing about it. If you're talking different about it, it's because it ain't in you yet. Once you get it in you, glory to God, you'll probably just go someplace and explode. But one of the things that'll be, you'll be blessed. The Word says the man's blessed that meditates on the Word. It says he's blessed. So nobody can tell me, I'm doing it and I ain't blessed. Well, I'm sorry, you're a liar. Because Jesus didn't lie, God didn't lie. So I'm missing it somewhere, not God. Hallelujah. If you're meditating on the Word, God's blessing is on your life. Hallelujah. We want to look at James because we're going to go over from there. I want to go to James because I want to talk some more about the things with our mouth. We had used these scriptures before, but I'm specifically going over to read through them because we need to do something here that James said. Because James is going to be dealing in a thing in James the third chapter. In verse 2, I'm going to start with, he said, James made this statement, "For we all stumble in many things." He said, "If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man." Now that word perfect there, just, it means to be mature. Now, but I want you to understand this, if you're walking by faith, you're perfect in God's eyes. You need to understand that. You're perfect in God's eyes. See, I'm perfect before God in my faith. My faith makes me perfect before Him. That's why we get answers to prayer. We're perfect before Him by our faith. Now, we're not always perfect because of our actions and everything like that, but we can be perfect toward God in our faith. We need to understand that. Our faith in God puts us in a place of perfection. We're righteous in that place. We're right before God. Hallelujah. We're justified before God because of our faith. And see, when I got the Word of God in me and it's producing and I'm saying that Word and that Word's coming to pass, I am justified. I'm perfect before God in what I'm doing because I'm operating in the principles of the kingdom. You know, you better hope that airplane, if you're going to crawl in one, you better hope that that thing is perfect in its building for flying, because if it is, you might be visiting a cemetery soon, you know? You want to do that. But it's the laws of the natural laws, and it has to be made in a perfection that it can fly and stay in the air. See, and you can be in the kingdom of God, you can be walking in a perfection but concerning your faith in the kingdom. The more perfect you learn to walk in faith, the more it is, the more you can produce. You know, it's just like a farmer. A farmer that can get the conditions just right, the more he can produce out of the seed that he plants, the more that he can get out if the conditions can be kept right. So he produces more out of it. It's no different than your heart's the same way. The more you understand how the faith things operate and how to get over in areas, you can get one area you're more perfected at in another one to get it to do. It's sort of like a farmer has one field over here with something. This one field produces a little better than this field. You can get over there. Maybe you don't know as much about certain things over here, but you have certain things you can really produce in. And see, you want to get over there. You want to start to perfect yourself over in the areas of how you produce by faith. Hallelujah. So the word is an incorruptible seed. Now, we have here, for we all stumble in many things, but if I don't stumble, where am I, perfect man? What am I doing? Able to bridle the whole body. This is an important part. Able to bridle the whole body. Now, how many of you have a body here? Do you have one? You got a body. Okay. Does your body need bridled? Now, what does it mean? In other words, controlled. Because he goes on to here, he makes his statement. He goes on, and I'm not going to go around and read all of them, but it says he just starts off with a horse. He said, "Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." In other words, the bit in the mouth. Where's the bit go? In the mouth. You need to get a bit in your mouth. You need to get a bit in your mouth. Your mouth is where your control's at. Your body is going to be controlled by your mouth. Your body is going to be controlled by your wife. This is why so many people's bodies are out of control. People can't, you know, deal with fleshly problems and stuff and things like that. People have, you know, habits and things they can't give rid of, doing all these kind of things and saying all these kind of things. People never get their mouth in line of things and begin to say the right things. You know, they could talk about their body. I just can't this and that, and I'm just not able to this and that. And my body, I just have problems with this, and I got problems with that. They never bridle their mouth. They never get their mouth over in line with the Word of God. You need to understand this concerning healing. If you want your body to be well and whole, you got to get your mouth right. Even natural studies that they've done, they've found that people who are negative and stuff about health and about their bodies and that kind of stuff, that even medication don't work as well in their body as it does in other people. And sometimes medications don't work at all in their body. They won't produce. Mostly they give to people and it seems to take care of things, it won't work for them. Why? It's their blab mouth. We don't like to hear this stuff. But people's confessions and what they're saying, and what they're saying. You know, and even over in the areas of health food and all that stuff, people get over in there and they get so tied into that, they don't realize they're making bad confessions all the time. And they act like they're trying to be Mr. or Mrs. Health, but they're saying wrong things. Get talking the Word over yourself. Get speaking the Word of God over yourself. Say what the Word of God says. Not, you know, what's the next latest thing to eat. My God, they always got the next thing out here that's, well, now this is the health food. You need to get this into your diet. Don't worry, next week they'll have another one. So it'll just be there. You're going to have that stuff and it's go on. But your meditations, your time and spent, I find I spend time meditating on the Word and very little on lunch. And I'm going to tell you what, the meditating on the Word goes a lot further than lunch. Man can't live by bread alone. Yet, much of the church is trying to. Much of the church world is trying to. All their ideas and their diets and everything else, they're trying to. You can't live by bread alone. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You want to get over in the Word of God. The Word of God is really where your health and where your protection and everything is. Look, you're living in a tainted world. Figure it out, folks. The best thing you can do is walk over and know the Word of God. It'll protect you from what you can't see around you and everything else. God can do all kind of wonderful things for you because you're walking in line with the Word of God. You know, if I have to eat all the right food to take care of my body, then I'm going to have to buy bodyguards to protect me because my angels ain't going to work either. You know, if you're going to keep doing the natural stuff and thinking that's the end result of it, that's going to make it work, well, I'm going to tell you, you're out in left field. There's things that you need and only God can do, and the things around you can look after you, and you want to walk in those areas and walk in those things. Hallelujah. We can confess. God can tell you about things you need for your body. You don't have to go to ask somebody else about it. You can find out for yourself. If what you're eating ain't working for you, well then turn around and start listening to God and what to do. You know, and then, you know, somebody makes a diet and then right away they write a book about what they did. You know, I find out some of these people, their diets, my words, I don't even want to be in the bondage. My words, I don't want to spend the rest of my life eating their lunch. I don't want to go there. What do you do? God, what do I need to do? What do I need? Lord, if I need anything, I've asked the Lord already. Lord, if I need anything, there's anything that I need. You know, if lacking in my diet, there's something I can do. I want to, you tell me what to do. I'll do it. Show me what you want. You know? No, it's a lot easier to buy somebody else's book or go listen to Dr. Oz or just go, you know, just sit down and fill yourself full of that. And after you're done, you think you need an operation. There's something wrong with you. And you'll get over there because you'll meditate and all that stuff. And they'll tell you all the things they find out about the sinners they studied who don't believe the Word of God at all and tell you what's going to happen to you. You know, that's what they're going to do. And you're going to sit there and buy it and believe it because they said, well, they did the study and they found out with everybody. If they'd have checked me, they'd have found it was different. Because the Word of God produces something different. And that's why you want to get the Word into you. You want to get the Word into you. We put the bit in the horse's mouth. Why? So we can turn the whole body. The confession. This is one of the things. We focus on a lot of other things, trying to get things changed out around. But getting over and getting into the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God and begin to speak the Word of God over us is going to change things concerning our body. I found out concerning habits and things like that, best thing you could start to do is just like myself, if I wanted to lose some weight, what I did is for 3 months, I just went and began to get my confession right about some things. I didn't start to try to have a diet right away. People that just go up, man, I can tell you what, the holiday's coming, I need to get some weight off here and blah, 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 or after the holiday, and they do it like that. There's nothing in it. Their spirit ain't even in it, involved in it. And anybody can do anything for about 90 days because that's generally about how long with most people it lasts. About 90 days. And after 90 days, your willpower just quit and you ate the whole pie. I need more than willpower. What I need is something to sustain me besides my willpower. So what I need to get my spirit over and decide. And what I did is I just spend time getting it till I am ready. And I know when I'm ready. I know. Say, well, how do you know when you're ready? Well, if you don't know, you ain't ready. So I just know I'm ready. I'm ready to start this thing. This ain't a battle now. Now, I've done fought the battle. I've done been doing the battle, getting ready in this thing, getting the Word into me, and the devil's trying to tell me, don't spend time doing that. You need to do this. You need to do that. See, that's your biggest problem is out here is because you're just listening to too much. Get on the inside. Change. Begin to speak to yourself. Whatever it is you want to change, you've got to get the bit in your mouth. What have you been saying and what have you been talking? You're not going to go in 10 minutes, go down here and find it. Oh, that's a scripture and I'm going to say that and I'm going to start this working tomorrow. No, it ain't going to. The Bible tells us how the seed works in the kingdom. Jesus said that the seed works, it's planted in the ground. First comes the blade. And then it goes on up through. And then it goes from the blade to the stalk to the corn on the ear and then the harvest. We're always taught this harvest stuff as you plant the seed, you go to harvest. No, you don't. It takes time to get the blade. It takes time for that stalk to come up. It takes time till that corn matures or whatever it is. The head matures on that thing or the fruit, whatever it is, matures. Then you harvest. Most people are trying to harvest with the blade. And they don't ever get nothing. That was one of the problems over there, you know, that the parable of the sower. The ones, as soon as a little persecution, affliction come, they quit. My God, is this going to take time? Yes, it is. You got took a lot of time to get nutty. You think you're just going to get really straight and smart just overnight? Well, it ain't going to happen. You know, I spent 30 years being an idiot. Got born again. Took me some time. It took years of meditation, the Word, to get to places where I can walk in today. It took time. And it took time to do it. See, the more you let time pass and you don't do it, time's getting away from you. The more we just, you know, let these things go. Don't let time get away. Time's a valuable thing. And it takes time. We aren't going to come up to the end and people are just going to be spiritual rocket scientists because God's going to have a revival. That don't happen. You know, if you've practiced not being spiritual, ain't no switch going to get turned on and all of a sudden you're going to become spiritual. You're going to have to practice the same principles. I know this. With the things coming up, that are going on and God wants to do, it's going to take me more time to get over and taking time to get into things and get myself set in a direction. It's going to take time to do it. And so, take your time. Hallelujah. If we're going to put the bit in our mouth, we got to start doing what God told Joshua. Like, you know, He told His people, we're going to have to sit down. Whether it is healing or whatever it is that we want or whatever we want to do, whenever we want to change things about our body in a direction or whatever, if we want to do that, we're going to have to begin by meditating on the Word, getting our saying straight. Start to meditate. Sit down. You know, you don't have to meditate on 25, 30 scriptures. Get down and get some scriptures that deal with you on your thing and begin to say the right things. Begin to speak to your body. Talk to your body. Tell your body what it's going to do instead of letting it keep voicing its opinion all the time. Your flesh is always going to do that. Your emotions and your feelings, you know. Most people never like to speak against their feelings. If you don't learn to speak against your feelings, you're always going to be a mess. You need to speak against your feelings. It don't matter. You know, as people say, well, you know, I don't love my husband or I don't love my wife anymore. You know, I just don't have the feelings for her. I've told people this over the years. I say, you know, shut your blab mouth concerning saying you don't love. I said, do this. For the next month, do nothing but ever say, and make sure you do it numbers of times a day, I love her or I love him. I said, at the end of the month, tell me where you are on this thing. You're never going to love somebody you walk around and say you don't love. You plant those seeds in you, and those seeds you've been saying, the devil got you over into that area, and your stupid feelings that you love so much got you into that area where somebody did something to hurt your little old feelings, and oh my God, to hurt my feelings, I tell you, can't hurt my feelings. I'm just so tender, you know. I'm just a tender person, yes. No matter what they did, no, I'm going to love them. I'm not going to not walk in love. I ain't going to do that. I'm loving them. Hallelujah. Whatever they do, I'm loving them. Glory to God. I love them. I would never, ever, ever let it come off my voice that I didn't love my wife. I would never allow that off my voice. I don't care what she did. I can't let that off my voice. I will not say that. I won't say it. And you know what? I don't have any problem with it. Because I've never let that seed grow up in me. I've never allowed it. See, you got to get over it. This is a powerful thing. This is the most powerful thing that's going on in the world. And yet, your mouth's the atomic bomb, folks. And everybody's been messing with all kind of other stuff. But the real power of this thing is the power of our voice. It's how God creates. It's the kingdom. The kingdom works off of believing and saying. Believing and saying. That's how the kingdom works. That's how it is. It is so simple, the devil gets, oh, no, it's the suit you wear. If you're wearing the right suit or right kind of clothes, you do this and that, drive the right car, you get this and that, and you go to this church and, you know, you do this and then you got all these little stuff that they do. Oh, everybody wants to have their stuff that they're doing and all that. They think that's all important. And all I do is listen to their mouth in 15 minutes. I can tell you where the average person's at. That's what I always do. I listen to what people say. I don't care what they say they believe. I listen to what they're talking. That's why when I get around people that don't know me, I never tell them I'm a minister. When I get around Christians, I never tell them I'm a minister. I listen to them talk, and I know where they're at. Because they will talk, and then I tell them I'm a minister, and they all choke up. You know? Then they all choke up, and then they want to get their religious sayings out. Now we've got to get the religious sayings out. This way, like it means something. Always cracks me up. Like, well, this is going to really make a difference now. Praise God. But those are the things we have to do. I want to look at some scriptures that concerning us with our mouth and what's it saying in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. I want to go there. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs 18. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. I'm going to read from verse 20 and 21. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Now, that word there, stomach, I think the King James says belly, which is probably a better statement, really, but actually what that word means, that word stomach, it's not talking about the physical stomach. It's not talking about the physical thing you put your food into. Because really, the actual word is a root that means the hollow, and especially the womb. In other words, really what this is talking about is your spirit, your inner man. Satisfaction don't come from life by just getting the things you want at the moment. Because what happens is, I know this from living as a sinner, drugs, everything else, doing all kind of stuff. That satisfaction was a temporary. As soon as you were done doing it, there was no satisfaction in you. You had to try to find something else to do again. You had to get to bring that satisfaction back. It's like, taking drugs. You know, a person gets out here and they take a drug and it makes them feel good. But when the drug wears off, well, you want to get that feeling again, you got to go get that drug again. You got to go do that again. There's not a set, there's something. See, people are trying to fill something on the inside of themselves and they're trying to do it through the flesh. Christians do it all the time. They're trying to fulfill things that they're empty on the inside and they're trying to fulfill that thing. There's a fulfillment that you have concerning in your heart on the inside of you. And we have in here, he says this, a man's stomach shall be satisfied, what? From the fruit of his mouth. Now listen to what verse 21, this is not a new scripture you've never heard. So, and understand this, because it says, death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. Death and life. See, satisfaction in your inner man is because of life. Dissatisfaction is because of death. Dissatisfaction is trying to have, you have death working on the inside of you, in your inner man, and you're trying to do things through your body to keep you happy. But that death, that's the core of it. You got death working on the inside of you. That's the core, man. No matter what you do. You just take from a natural perspective of a person sick and dying and say they have cancer, they're dying. Don't matter what the doctor does and what it does, they're always walking with death on them and death on their mind and death on their thoughts. They're dying. See, if that's not eliminated, you can't make them happy. You can give a drug to make them feel good or something else. But see, you want to get life inside of you because the core of your being, you want to get it inside of you. Basically, what he's saying here in verse 21, whichever one you love is what you're going to have. You love life or you love death. I know Christians who love death. They talk it constantly. They're always talking in negative. They're always talking there. They love it. They don't see themselves as loving it. But you need to understand, what you're talking all the time is what you love. That's what you like to do. This is why meditation, that's what you meditate on. I can tell what people meditate on by what they talk. If you love life, you're going to spend time. If you have problems over here in the area, has been loving death, then you need to change your meditation to change that of what you love. So you might start off and you might like talking about other stuff, but you get over here, it might take you some time to change that. But you need to get something growing on the inside of you, and you need to get words of life. A lot of people have become perfected at producing death. They're good at it, man. They can produce bad stuff just like that. You know, the more, it's like with me, when I first started off, healing was something that really grabbed me and took time. And once I've learned how healing works, and I know and I produced seed in that area and let it grow up in me, I can grab things quick. It's because of what's in me that I produced over time. That fruit is always producing. I always meditate on the areas of healing and stuff. I don't sit around talking about being sick and not getting well. I don't talk those things. I don't say that stuff. I've gotten good at that. There's some areas I could sure get a whole lot better in and stuff, and things that need to develop more. And so you get over and get good at that. Well, see, I love health. I am surprised at how many people love sickness. They love to talk about it. And if you told them they loved it, they would get mad at you. But I know that's what they love, because you spend your time thinking on meditating on the things that you like. We're going to prove it from Scripture. We'll prove it. We'll go down here and look at the Scriptures. And if you think, well, that ain't true, well, then Jesus is a liar. But we'll look at we'll look at the Word. It's, number one, if you don't identify you and you don't see where you're coming from, there's no change. This is why we need to look at ourselves and identify ourselves to see where we're at. Because that's when you change. That's where repentance, you know. You repent. You got to turn. And if I just insist that I'm right when it's always going wrong, well, I'm an idiot. I got to stop and say, hey, hold it. Where am I in this thing? Where am I at? What do I need to change? It's one of the biggest things that most people need to change is what they're meditating on, what they're pondering and saying. That is where most people are at their problem. Is Kenneth Hagin, when the Lord told him, he said, you're going to have to teach three times more on the saying part than the believing part. And you know what? The scriptures teach more than three times more on the saying part than on the believing part. The scriptures talk a lot about what we say. And so we might spend a long time on this subject, but just keep drilling it, drilling it, until you just get so fed up with me, you start saying the right thing. So I'll say the right thing if you quit preaching. Okay. No, but it's good. Number one, you want life. You just watch yourself. You sit around and talk negative and then tell me how you feel. You talk life and tell me how you feel. See, words do things to you. See, one of the biggest things we said, six sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What that's being said can hurt you a whole lot. That's why sometimes it's some of these stupid names parents name kids, and then they're called by that name. And they're constantly speaking a dumb name over a kid. And wonder why kids are messed up. Because of dumb people doing dumb things and not understanding stuff and saying things over people that are blessings. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they named people according to something, what the word meant that they named them. They didn't just throw, this sounds cute. See, today, and understand it, you get called that for the rest of your life. Thank God. My parents called me Edward, and they named me that, and thank God. The Lord told me after I got born again, you became what they called you. See, Edward's a royal name. Edward means a guardian. See, that's when they named the kings in England. They named him Edward. They were Edward. It's a guardian. And he said, that's what you are concerning the kingdom and the word of God. You're a guardian. You became what you were called. See, God changed Abraham. His name was Abram, and he changed it to Abraham. You start calling yourself a father of a multitude. He didn't say, no, just keep calling yourself what Daddy said. See, because it's a name you go around and use and people use for you, and you're called that. See, we throw things out there and just throw it out there. It's meaningless to us and our society, but we don't realize what we're doing. We don't understand what we're doing out here. You know, somebody named kids names, it's the next thing to dummy. Why don't you call him, why don't you name him the bright, smartest kid in town? See, well, I just don't understand. We've been calling him dummy all these years, and I don't understand. He's just not smart. Well, you've named him dummy. So, dear God, why do you name him the smartest guy in town or something? You know, something that would turn around, and don't be surprised. See, people don't think this stuff has any effect. It's ludicrous. It's the stupidity of the church, because the church don't know much about the Bible and they don't know much about the kingdom. We just throw names out there we like. Dear God, when I was a sinner, we did that. We don't do that no more. Dear God, hallelujah. That's good preaching. Glory to God. Proverbs, the 12th chapter. Proverbs, the 12th chapter in verse 14, another scripture says this, a man will be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. No, excuse me. A man will be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. Listen, and the recompense of a man's hand will be rendered to him. So we saw good two principles here. We're not talking about the doing part, but still it's a good thing. You know what? People don't work. They don't have anything to give recompense. The Bible says you're going to be recompensed by what you do with your hand. So in other words, your mouth and your hand mean a lot. And those are we're not taught today in the church. The mouth and the hand ain't taught. You don't have to work today. The church will take care of you. The church will try to feed you and take care of you and look after you. But you need to understand your mouth. Here again, your mouth. So in other words, the success of our life has a lot to do with the mouth, don't it? It's what we're saying about the mouth, speaking concerning ourselves, talking about ourselves. It isn't about just praying and asking God. Most Christians go and they pray and ask God for stuff. Well, and the reason things don't change is because they don't go with a mouth that, you know, that what they got something in their heart and they're speaking to God. They're going and asking God to do things, but they're only going to believe God's going to do anything when they see it show up. God, I need a better job. Why don't you start saying, praise God, I got a better job. Praise God, I have a good one. Glory to God. No, we'll sit around and say, God, I need a job. God, I need a job. And he's sitting there saying, you think I don't know that? See, that hasn't produced anything or done anything. It ain't nothing but wind blowing. We call it praying. And in God's eyes, there wasn't a prayer ever said. It was idle words. Words that don't produce anything. They're idle words. Saying, God, praise God. You said I'd be blessed with the labor of hand. I'm going to thank you, Lord. God, I need a good job and you're giving me one. You're going to give me a good job that pays well. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for that. Glory to God, there's employers looking for me. Well, it's just hard to get a job out there today. Well, that was a good confession. So don't be, you might miss a few lunches. And it's your fault. You start saying things. You start talking the right way. Hallelujah. Well, there is no point asking God for stuff and you talking that way, talking negative, and then trying to get something good. Because inside of you, you're going to keep producing. You're going to keep producing the fruit of what you're saying. You can't say 47 times things are going bad and then over here, God give me a good job one time and expect anything to change. It ain't changing. Glory to God. This is good preaching, folks. This is the basics. I was born again and came into the kingdom with this teaching. This is what stuff that was put out there. We had the confession police. We had people would walk around, and if you said something negative, they'd tell you about it. Me, I tell you what, people be just mad at me all the time because today they're constantly talking the wrong things. People be mad all the time. Say, what on earth are you saying that for? You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be talking that way. See, we're Christians. We are supposed to have a language in a way that we talk. One thing the Lord told me about this thing of all these people coming to our country in these caravans? The Lord spoke to me about this and said to me, He said, they're building the Tower of Babel. That's what this is about. They're building the Tower of Babel. All these people want to come in and they want to change America and the way it's going. And the devil's behind all this stuff. And he said, these people that are poor, he said, they say they're poor and they usually ought to open the door. He said, the reason they're poor is because how they are in life. And he said, they're evil and the stuff they're doing. They want to drag it into our country and take over from the people here. They want to come in and get something for nothing. They want to come into this nation. They want to come in here illegally and come in here and be taken care of in a nation they never worked for or did anything for. And they just want to drop in on it. And most people are on their side. Loads of Christians are on their side. Loads of them are on their side. Working against God, trying to change this nation so it becomes more ungodly. Because the more they come in, the more ungodly our nation gets. They bring their religious junk in and their trash in and they're hauling it in. Building a tower. Glory to God. God's view is different than man's view. Oh, but we're so loving. Oh, my God. We're just so loving. I wish we loved God as much as we do ourselves. We'd get somewhere. Proverbs 13, verse 2 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. But a man's what shall eat but well by the fruit of his mouth. The fruit of your mouth. It's what you're producing with your mouth. Glory to God. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. See, to prosper, to be blessed in life, to have good, you got to get your mouth over speaking what the Word of God. Find out what the Word of God says about things. What the Word says about you. And begin to say it. Talk about the labor of your hand. You're prospering through the labor of your hands. As God said you would. See, when you get over and change your mouth. See, going out, it's fine. If I go out here and I'm sowing money and doing naturally, my giving is an action of my faith. My giving is not my faith. My giving is an action of my faith. And I'm giving it. There's no point, like I said, there's no point to me giving it if I'm over here talking the wrong stuff. Because I give it, it ain't going to produce nothing for me. Because what I'm going to produce is what the words I put in my spirit, the seeds that I planted on the inside of me, that I'm saying is what's going to be produced, not because of my check. So you just can't take one scripture, given it shall be given unto you. That's all you got to do. Just give it'll be given unto you. Sit around and talk the opposite all the time. Given it shall be given unto you. Yeah, watch it. Hide and watch. See how that one works. It ain't going to work. You got to get it in you. And get the Word of God. Get into meditation on the Word of God. We want to look here in Luke the 6th chapter, verse 45. See, we'll get, and then, so we can't argue with Jesus. Let's see what Jesus said. Luke 6, the 6th chapter in verse 45. This is why we want to get ourselves over. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be blessed. And the thing is, working with your mouth. Get where, if you want to perfect something, perfect at saying the right things, getting the rights, because your voice is planting seeds into your spirit. Get yourself where you're saying the right things and a continual thing of saying the right stuff, speaking the right things concerning yourself. Speak life over you. Don't speak death over you. Speak life over you. Continually do that. Speak life. You know, I don't care how bad you feel in your body. Speak life. Continue to feed those seeds. Water those seeds in you. Continue to do that. Don't get over there talking the other junk. Now, in Luke 6 and verse 45, this is Jesus. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What does God call an evil man? Put wrong seeds in, bad seeds in him. That's evil. A good man produces, a good man what? Your goodness is measured by your heart, what's in your heart, the fruit you're producing. There are Christians today that have evil hearts. There's Lord spoke to me about different Christians and said they're hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Born again. Wow, they produced it by the seeds they kept putting into themselves and kept doing in themselves from the things that they've said. And now their heart is just producing a bunch of junk. It's evil. See, we don't do that. See, that's why with Israel, when they went in the land, they came out and said they had an evil report. The spies had an evil report. They said the wrong things. They come out. God said, the land's yours. I give it to you. They said, no, we can't take it. He said, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. They didn't even, you know, the giants didn't say, you look like a bunch of grasshoppers. They made that one up. That's what an evil heart will do. It'll turn around and you keep putting junk inside of you. You'll be saying things about you that ain't even true that could try to kill yourself. You'll be doing that. Things that ain't even true, that ain't even so. But you'll turn around and make it up because what? You have all this bad's produced in you. Jesus said, out of a good man and an evil man, it's what's produced in the heart determines good and evil. People's actions in their flesh are manifestations of what's really in them. That's what Jesus is saying here. What are you going to produce? What are you going to bring forth? Is it good treasure of the heart, or you got a bad treasure? You have an evil treasure. But the heart brings it forth out of the abundance of the heart. See, this is why the meditation is so much needed, because you got to be able to change the abundance of what's coming out of your mouth. You must change that. You have to change it. You got to change it. This is why with the health and healing, you got to change that. Because, I mean, constantly, if you look, you know, it's just like, you always see these things, it always says, you know, elderly people, as you get older, your immune system don't work as good. 99% of elderly people believe that. I want you to know, this boy don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. But see, it don't matter if you don't believe it. That don't produce anything. It's what you say. Believing ain't planting seeds. It's what you say plant seeds. You can believe it, but you go around saying it. Praise God, my immune system works wonderful. Glory to God. I can fight things off. My natural immune system. Plus, I got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickening and making my body alive. Glory to God. We got a tag team, and when sickness comes, we wrestle it right down and pin it. Hallelujah. We get the trophy every time. Glory to God. See, you sit around and listen to this stuff. Why would people think that? We have healing. We have the same spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and stupid Christians walk around. Well, you know, you get older. You know what medical science found out? Yeah, they found out they're a bunch of idiots and don't know nothing half the time. I done read the Bible and found out about my health. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, St. Mike's talking about the election. You know, we should already been voting. I mean, every day I vote every day in prayer. I go over and bind the devil every day over things, and I turn around and I'm casting my vote in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those of Christians, they're just going to wait till they get down there to that place and they're going to throw it in there and act like they did something. Thank God we do have it and we should vote. But dear Lord, let's get some voting in ahead of time. Amen. Praise God. So, our meditations are so important about good and evil. What comes out of me is either good or evil. It's evil if I'm out talking about sickness, I'm talking about poverty, how I can't make it, I'm talking about this problem or that problems, and I'm just talking about that stuff all the time. That's evil. That's planting evil seeds in my own heart. Oh, I tell you, if my wife would straighten out, it would just be a whole lot better. No, if I don't straighten my mouth out, it ain't going to ever get better. My wife don't determine Ed's happiness. I do. My mouth determines. See, we throw it on other people. People do things that hurt you. But what do you do about it? How your actions are about that. What you say and what you do is going to determine what's going to happen with those things. See, you got to learn to protect yourself. Most people don't. Most people throw themselves under the bus, always complain about somebody else doing it. And they throw themselves under the bus. They get run over by themselves. They become the one that does it to them. If you don't understand it, I'm trying to be critical of anybody. I know, man. I know how this thing works. Don't be the one that's injuring yourself. There's enough people trying to do it, and enough demons that'll try to do something to you without joining the club, you know, getting on their side. Hallelujah. The greater one's in you. And so put the greater one to work on the inside. You know, the Holy Spirit's in there. He wants you to plant good seeds because He's working in you to produce things. He wants to help you produce stuff. He can't help you produce that evil stuff. He don't want it. Can you imagine? He sits there and looks at it. But my God, look what they're going to get out of this. Well, they've been planting this and they've been planting this. Now you can sit and feel critical. Oh, I've just messed up so bad. Don't go to that camp. Throw that self-pity junk that you've been doing. Throw it out the window. Because it's been your destruction. Poor old me. Throw it out the window and stop and say, no, if I meditate on the Word, we're going to change this. We're planting a new garden now, man. We're planting a new field now, hallelujah. We're going to get a crop, hallelujah. I ain't going to wait forever. I'm planting a seed of the Word of God. It's incorruptible. It will produce, hallelujah. And when it produces good. Glory to God. In Luke 12:34, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, where is your treasure? What is your treasure? Your treasure's whatever you spend your time meditating on, thinking of, and doing. That's your treasure. That's your treasure. Where your treasure is, your heart's is. See, when your treasure, you get your treasure in the right things that you treasure, it's easy to get your heart in the line. Where people have a hard time, they treasure a lot of things that it's not good for them. And they're treasuring those things. If you get your treasure, what do you treasure? You can change what you treasure. You can change what you treasure. By what you spend your time with, what are you going to spend your time with? What are you going to take the time? Are you going to take the time with the Word of God and meditate on it? Are you going to take the time over there to speak those things and do those things? Are you going to take time with it? You have to. I don't know any other way to do it, folks. I read the Bible. I ain't found a McDonald's way to change this thing. I have not found. There's no one. Just go to the drive-up window and they'll hand you the bag out. Boop, and you got it now. I don't see it. I don't see it. No, we have to do things, and we have to do things that will change for us. So we have to understand your heart. And this is the whole thing is we're dealing with this thing is about your heart. Meditating, getting the Word of God in you, speaking the right things. Begin to say the right stuff about yourself. Don't change that, folks. Don't go off to something else. Learn to be, you know, your own policeman and stop yourself. And you start getting over in there and say, hold it. This is not, you know, because sometimes people are believing the right things, but they aren't saying the right things. Stop and say, hey, hold it. I don't believe that. This is what the Bible says. I'm determined to believe what the Bible says. The Bible says this. And this is what the Bible says. And so this is what I'm going to speak. This is what I'm going to say. You know, I've watched people already over the years have come along, and I've had people, you know, say, I've had people just come say they're not sure of their salvation anymore. They're not so sure of their salvation. And to me, I always smile and look at them because I know why. Because I know they're blab mouth. They've been walking around talking about, I'm just not sure of my salvation. I'm just, and they're always talking negative. Well, I just don't have what I don't feel the way I used to feel. And they say, you know, and I just don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure of my salvation. Well, I just look at them smiling and say, well, I'm sure of that. You ain't ever talk about your salvation or being saved. You always talk about not being. You always talk about, you know, what you feel. So do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And you turn around and take them to Scripture and they say, yeah, I believe that. When are you going to start saying that? Do you know one of the simplest things that Christians don't do? Christians are trying to get things from God and they're not even really, really sound in their own salvation, that they're a child of God and they belong to God. I confess those things all the time. A lot of times I go praying, God, and I just thank Him. Lord God, I'm so thankful I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I say those things. Lord God, I can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Glory to God. I belong in Your presence. You saved me for this, that I'd come to You. And Lord God, talk to You, tell You what I need. Hallelujah, expect You. People don't do that. If they need something, they just, oh God, I got this problem and I just need it. They never put themselves in position. You get yourself, man, when you walk in that throne, you look and say, my God, there ain't no way I get turned down. Ain't no way this boy's getting turned down. He's going to have what he's gone for. This is the way it works. You keep yourself over there. You're a child of God. You always talk about being a child of God. I don't care if you come on and you missed it 10 days in a row and did something you shouldn't have done. That don't make you not a child of God. Just, you're never going to change talking about what you're doing wrong. You begin to get onto your voice to say what the Word of God says and to speak the Word of God. You got to get the bit in your mouth if you want to turn your body. You got to get the bit in your mouth. You have to do that. There's no way of getting by it. You got to get the bit in your mouth, not somebody else. Well, they're saying this about me. Well, what does that matter? What I say about me is the most important. Hallelujah. Not what they say. It's what I say. Hallelujah. Because I ain't planting their seeds. I'm going to plant the ones I've going to. I have decided what I want to plant. This is what I'm going to plant. They might be right. I'm acting like an idiot, but I ain't planting idiot seeds because there will be no change made planting those seeds. If you join the crowd, you'll be planting the same seeds they are. So don't be surprised. Next week they're calling you even a dumber idiot because you helped them. You plant the right seeds. You say what the Word of God. Find what the Word of God. This is why it's so important to know the Word of God. When God told Joshua, he said, you know, the book of the law, you know, you need to get this and meditate on this day so you can do all that's in there. We need to become really efficient at this book of knowing what it's in there and what God's doing. Most of the church world has no idea how the kingdom operates, yet Jesus constantly told them how the kingdom operates, but most of the church believes the confession things is a bunch of junk. It's because they never read the book. All they do is pass religious tradition down from person to person to person. And people sit down, they read a scripture, but they don't tell you what the scripture ever says. They tell you what their tradition is. Their traditional beliefs. Their traditional thinking. Instead of what the Word says. Jesus talked about planting seeds. He said, parable of the sower. If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of them? If people don't understand the words and being words planted in the spirit of man, the rest of the parables, you might as well throw them out. They ain't doing you no good. Because all the kingdom is based on words spoken and planted in hearts. That's what it is. That's why the preaching of the gospel is about somebody standing in front of people speaking the words of God to get them planted into people's hearts. That's the kingdom, folks. Because that's what produces. That's what causes things. See, it's not produced. It's not produced, you know, because, you know, just we want something nice to happen. God in the beginning, in the creation of the earth, God spoke and it happened. It took place. He created man just like he was. And in this earth, Adam was called to reign and rule by his mouth. And we'll eventually go over and look at that. He didn't reign and rule through his mouth. He turned around instead of saying the right things. He had to be speaking the wrong things and got wrong seeds in him that he did what he did. He had to. You just don't up and sin just overnight. You just don't up and do something like that. He did it. He planted wrong seeds. Him and Eve were sitting around talking some junk. They were kept looking at that stupid tree over there. Had all everything. They had the tree of life. It wasn't enough. No, we got to have the knowledge of good and evil too, you know. Life ain't enough. Today, that's what we got in this sloppy grace preaching. This sloppy grace preaching teaches you that you can eat the death, you can have the good and evil, and have life too, and you can't. Grace is about you and I continually eating life. Hallelujah. I'm not going to go into it this morning, but we could go over and I could go over and we'll do some teaching on the tree of life. We're going to find out what the Bible says concerning us as believers in the tree of life. We want to look at those things. We're looking at things that people don't generally teach. Some people they've taught them. They used to teach more of this stuff years ago, but They don't do this stuff now. And we need to get over into these areas because we want life in our life. We need to hook up in this area, especially because we're going to be dealing with confession. It's about what we say. I don't think there can be enough said about this. I mean, if you went over, and I have Charles Capp's book on one on confession. He's on, it deals with faith. It's a big, no, this is a big book. Anyhow, with that one I have, and you read through there and he talks about confession. Most all the book he's talking about confession. It deals with believing, but most of it's dealt on confession. And I mean, he's radical. But He's very radical, of course, but there's so much in the Bible said about it. And he goes over, really, the church has really missed it in these areas about their mouth and controlling concerning their saying, taking the time to plant things in you. You're not going to say something one time and it's just going to happen. It's like I said in the beginning, we have with Randall Grittow, there's two things in dealing with faith. Number one is we say words to get us in faith. It's getting ourselves into faith, to getting the seed in us. Sometimes people have a hard time getting the seed in them. They have said so much other stuff in that things, and they get over there and they say, I believe the word of God's true. But they say them, but these other things are so deep seated, you got to get yourself over there till you can get the word into you, where that becomes your way of believing. And then you have to be saying that. You have to be constant confession of those things to get it into you. You know, and when you get it into you, you aren't ready to harvest yet. When you get it into you and you're ready to speak a word from the standpoint of faith and make a faith confession, that faith confession is to releasing that thing to produce fruit. It isn't producing fruit right away. Many people, they hear something really sounds good and they go off and make a confession about it and say, well, you know, I believe in God. I believe this, that. They'll say those things, but they haven't believed anything yet. They haven't really got it in themselves. There's no faith confession has been made yet. We take the word and we get it into it. It's like to me, as I learn over time, it's like Kenneth Hagin, what I learned from him. And he, you know, here's a man who taught healing, knew about healing, dear Lord's walked in divine health stuff all his life and knew about how that stuff worked from the time he was born again. And he talked about, you know, even with his children, praying for his children. When his children got sick, he didn't just jump and run over and just pray for them right away. He would sit and meditate on the word till he knew he was ready to pray. See, we have this supermarket, McDonald's junket we got today. You walk in, pick the stuff off the shelf, run up there, and you know, if all the lines ain't open right away, we're upset and we gotta get our stuff and get out of there and that kind of stuff. And this is what we do concerning him. Minister, come up here, come up, lay hands on me. I've been talking against myself all week and speaking against it and talking to it, and I've been paying attention. He's supposed to lay hands on me and I get healed. And then they don't get it and say, I just don't understand why I get healed. What's going on with this? I just don't get it. But folks were telling me this is taking time. It takes time to get those things set in you and to get those into your spirit where you're making a confession where you're ready to do it. And it's like Kenneth Hagin, when he was ready to do it, he prayed and it would work. See, I found myself, I do the same thing. There's things sometimes that come along, even with healing myself. I make sure that I'm ready to make a confession. You got to learn, if you don't know you on the inside, how do you know the seed's planted on you? I don't understand a Christian say, well, how do I know I'm believing? Well, I know this, you're not believing because you just said so. When you said, how do I know, then you don't know you're doing so. What do you know that you even believe? I know when I'm believing it. I know when it's in my heart. I know when I'm ready to be saying it. I know it. I don't understand people sit around and say, you don't know? Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. All I can think is, are you a human being? Are we that far away from our spirit that we don't even, born again Christians, we're so lost in it that we don't even know? I know when I'm ready to speak. I know when I'm in faith. I know when I'm ready to stand. I know when I'm ready to go after it. What people have done, they have ruined themselves by always making confessions they were never ready to confess and nothing ever happens and they're never really into it. They have a plan B in case that don't work. I want healed, but I got the appointment at the doctor. If this don't work, I can see him tomorrow. And they call it faith. It's never been faith. It's never been faith. See, we got, folks, we got to get over this and get this playing with stuff and playing with and sit down and say it takes time. See, you want to produce things. You can hurt your own faith, you know. It's like Charles Capp says, you know, when the blade comes up, you know, or the stalk comes up and you get the combine out and you go across the field, you ain't getting any corn. Christians do this all the time. They're trying out here to harvest what hasn't even produced any fruit yet. They haven't got it in them and growing up. They haven't done it. They're trying to bring in what ain't even ready to be brought in. Well, I'm just a believing God, you know. Oh, my word's got a bill in yesterday. I'm going to believe God today to get that money. Well, it would have been good if you'd have done that some other time. It would have been good you'd have started that some other time back down the road instead of waiting until it got there. See, that's one of the things the Lord, you know, dealt with me. He commended me of the fact of knowing how to bring money in. He said, you're good at it. He said, over time, he said, you and Wanda know how to believe God. You've done that. But he said, I don't want you to do that anymore. He said, I want you to have your faith and have yourself set in your giving. So you're always believing way before anything ever comes along or happens. I want you to have a constant flow where you have things out there that you're already believing and you're sowing out there rather than just trying to get what you got here right now. That's what most people are doing, just trying to cover right here where they're at now. You know, you can't do that. Most people in the United States, that's where they live today. They're just living from paycheck to paycheck. That's all they can do. Well, God don't want you in that. Now, don't feel condemned about that. If you're at that place, don't feel condemned about it. You can go past that. That's why you need to get into the Word, meditate on the Word. God will help you get past that place where you're turning around, where you have an abundance, as the Word talks about, you know, is casting your bread upon the water. Well, you want to get the way it comes in on every wave. You're not waiting. Oh, now I got this problem. And now I'm just casting it out there now. I'm only planting, getting a seed in me now for what I need. I'm only getting it started now. So you don't want to do that. You want to have this thing going. You want to have this thing as a constant thing. So you got to get over here and start it. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to feel condemned today. You don't have to. The devil might say, oh boy, whew, you have blown it. So what does he know? You don't belong to him anyhow. Don't matter what he says. Don't matter what the neighbor says or somebody else says. It don't matter. What did God say about you? You know, in spite of you, he likes you. Do you know that? In spite of you and in spite of me, he likes us. Hallelujah. He's put the promises in the book. He has not changed them because we got dumb. The promises stay the same. He'll still do the same thing for us. He's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. All he asks us is get in line with the Word. I will guarantee you, if you'll start in this meditation thing, you will find out in a short period of time how things will change for you. And you know, don't try to meditate on everything under the sun to fix all your problems at one time. Start targeting things. Target stuff. What is the most important thing that you need? Let's say if you have a health problem, a health problem is really affects your life and that kind of stuff, affects your finances and things. Get that thing fixed. Begin to focus on it, because that's what the devil is using to rob and steal from you in that place. Say if you have a financial problem, start to get over in that area. Begin to focus specifically into that area and that stuff, because if it's affecting your life and what you're able to do and hey, financial problems cause a lot of other problems, you know, other things. That's when people are always, you know, not be able to make bills and doing stuff like that. It's a tough spot to be into. Get the Word in you. Number one, the Word will do this for you concerning health or anything else. The number one thing it's going to do at first, it's going to drive fear out of you. Your fear is your biggest faith problem. That's your biggest faith problem is fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. If fear's driving you and you're afraid concerning whatever's going on in your body, you're afraid about your finances or stuff, that's the devil working. God didn't give that to you. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You're supposed to have a sound mind. Glory to God. Christians ain't supposed to walk around flaky minds. If you meditate in the Word, you'll never have a flaky mind. Glory to God. You'll think right. So you get over there. Don't let fear. The meditation on the Word will turn around and you'll get to the point. You're saying the right things after a while. Like I refuse to fear. I will not fear. Fear tries to come on me, I put it out right out of my mouth. I refuse to be afraid. I am not going to worry. This isn't going to be taken care of. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. I will not have this. I'll live and not die. I ain't going to do that. I don't care. Fear is not going to dominate me. I refuse to let it dominate and rule. Why? You can't let fear dominate and rule and be in faith at the same time. It won't work. It cannot happen. Fear is just negative faith. That's all it is. It's working. And you stop it. No, I refuse to fear. I will not fear. You know, sometimes your fear will come against your mind. Don't let it get into your heart. And the way you don't let it get into your heart is by voicing the right things. If fear comes to you and you don't voice and start saying the right thing, it can eventually get a hold of your soul where it'll be hard for you to let faith work. You got to get it on your voice. I refuse to fear. I am not going to worry and I'm not going to be afraid. You got to get those things on your voice. You can't let them go by and say, well, you know, I'm just going to think happy thoughts. No, we plant seeds with words, not thoughts. It's good to think, to have a good thought, but you got to get good words on your mouth. When fear comes, you speak it right away. I'm not going to be afraid. I refuse to fear in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to do that. See, you got to plant words. If it's inside your spirit, they know that you're not supposed to fear, then you water it with your words. You say your words. You speak according to what's in you. Say, no, I'm not, because fear will try to come to your mind. It'll try to come to you. This isn't going to be taken care of, but that's going to happen. And what if this takes place? And what if this happens over here? What's going to happen to me? No, praise God, I know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be blessed. Men are going to give me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what's going to happen to me. Stand back and watch. Hallelujah. God's word must come to pass. I'm not going to get in a place where I don't have enough. If I don't have enough and I'm walking in faith, Jesus Christ is a liar. That's an impossibility. No one has ever gone under walking in faith with God. It has never happened. It's never taken place. You get over saying the word, talking the word will perform always. It's an incorruptible seed. Get that in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of good practical teaching here this morning of what to do and how to walk. But I tell you, get your voice. Your voice is the most powerful thing. God's voice is the most powerful thing. Look through the scripture, what it talks about, and in the Psalms and in Proverbs concerning the voice of the Lord. And God's voice, it thunders. It does this. It does that. I'm going to tell you what. Why don't you have a thunder voice? We're supposed to. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the mountains will shake. Glory to God. A man speaks by faith. And when I'm saying man, I'm talking about mankind. You know, understand this from a scriptural standpoint. When it uses the term man, it's talking about man and woman. When God created man in the garden, it says he created man, he created them male and female. We're all men. We're either the man, human, male part, or the female with a womb. All the woman is a man with a womb. It's a man. So get out of this feminism stupid stuff and, well, that's a feminist book there. This God don't like women or this or that and the other thing. Get a life. Hallelujah. It's for everybody over there. The word's for all of us. And the word works for everybody. Hallelujah. And you get yourself as confessing the word, saying the right words, believing the right words. Get them planted inside of you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wish I'd have had the notes on some of that stuff. That'd have been good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord told me this morning, it just, you know, he said, there's some things I need you to say, so you just go along, whatever. You know, just, okay, we'll do that. But it's a good lot of practical things. And folks, these things do work. God's desire is to bless you. God's desire, he wants to do things for you. It's one of those things, check yourself out of what good things you have in your side of yourself already, what you already got inside of you. Reinforce those things in you. You know, it's like I said, concerning your salvation, being a child of God, you being a new creation. Talk about being a new creation. You know, don't be as people talk about your past. Water over the dam don't matter. It's over the dam. Let it go. You ain't gonna push it back over. So just forget it. Let it alone. You know, I don't have a past from when I got born, 30 years old, January of 1980. I got born again. I don't have a past that one. There ain't a past. I don't have one. That man's dead. So you got to come to the place that person's dead. You know, the more I've walked in my Christianity, the less I remember about that, what went on in the past. That becomes foggier and foggier of me back here. You know, I spent 13 months in Vietnam. And you know the strangest thing? I could hardly tell you a lot about Vietnam anymore. There's loads of things. I saw some pictures that I had from in Vietnam, and I looked at them and thought, dear Lord, I don't even remember this stuff. I have no memory about what the pictures were about and what it. I don't even know. One of the most wonderful things. Just fill yourself with the Word of God. You create yourself memories. Most Christians, all they do is create the past. That's all they do, is they keep the past rolling and rolling and rolling. And then even in their Christian walk where they missed it, they can go back and tell you it perfectly. Of their mistakes and where they blew it. And you can always guarantee people around you will help you remember those things. Lay those things aside. It's like today, no matter what I said here from the standpoint, we're pointing you in a direction. It don't matter where you missed in the past or you didn't do it right or didn't. It don't matter. It's about picking up today and say, hey, well, no. Today is what's going to change tomorrow. Today is going to change tomorrow. If I did things that set things in motion, we'll bring that to a halt. We're going to change that thing. We're going back in the garden and we're going to tear some things up. We're going back in the garden and we're going to deal with it. We ain't going to be having that no more. That's not coming up anymore. That's not going to be in my crop this season. We're not going to have that in. You start to set yourself in the right direction. Don't get into any kind of condemnation. Don't allow that to happen. The word is life to you. Don't drag up death of the past or mistakes of the past. Don't drag the death in. If you need to repent of something, ask God to forgive you. He'll forget just like that, and you forget just like that too. Amen. So if you need to confess a sin, well then confess it and then act like it never happened. There'll always be people to tell you it did, but so you don't need to remember it. The devil will send somebody to tell you, to try to remind you. You don't ever have to remember. You just forget it and put it out of your mind. God forgave you, it's gone. Just let it alone. Hallelujah. Set yourself on what's right. Speak life to yourself. Speak life. Speak life. Hallelujah. Let life dominate. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Thank you for life. Hallelujah. And Lord God, as Jesus said, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you for abundant life today. We're a people of abundant life. Hallelujah. We're a people of plenty and health and sound minds in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. Hallelujah. That's what you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful because I know this. I didn't earn it, and you don't expect me to earn it either. Hallelujah. You've given it freely. All I have to do is believe it, get it in my heart, let it produce the fruit, and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we call things in, Lord God, Lord, that you have for us, Lord God. We have plenty, Lord God. Lord God, Lord, you've given us the mind of Christ, and each one of us has the mind of Christ. You put the great Holy Spirit in us. He's our teacher, God. The smartest one in the world is living inside of us. He knows everything about Jesus. He knows everything Jesus knows, and He's in us to reveal it to us. My, what geniuses we are. Hallelujah. There's not a computer in this world is as great as the one that's inside of us. Hallelujah. And He's in us, living inside of us. He's moved in, and we're in fellowship together. Hallelujah. We're walking together. He's taken what belongs to Jesus and shown to me. We're full of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. When we ask for wisdom, we get it liberally because the wise one lives in us. Hallelujah. We don't need some kind of hotline to heaven. Hallelujah. We have the hotline living in us. Glory to God. The wisdom of God is inside of us. So we make wise decisions. Hallelujah. We're not fools. We're wise. Hallelujah. We're not stumbling around in life. Lord God, we put the bit in our mouth. We put the word in our mouth that guides us and leads us into all the truth. Hallelujah. We're full of the truth, Lord God. Hallelujah. Health comes to us, rolls to us. Our bodies are sound in the name of Jesus because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, making our bodies alive. Hallelujah. Our bodies are strong and full of life and health. Hallelujah. Full of vigor in the name of Jesus. We're not tired and just dragging along. We're full of life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Life is the normal for us. Glory to God. And Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, money chases us down. Money comes to us in the name of Jesus. We're blessed coming in and going out. Hallelujah. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Glory to God. We're not living under the curse. We're under the blessing. Hallelujah. Whatever we put our hands to, it prospers in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're a blessing wherever we go. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, when people say us coming, they'll say, here comes the blessing. Glory to God. They're the blessed of the Lord. Oh, Lord God, it seems everything they touch, hallelujah, gets blessed. And glory to God, it's true in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. Father God, we're such a blessed people, full of life, full of health, full of soundness, because you made us that way in Christ Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, my words, Lord, what could keep us down? There's nothing. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, is there anything you want us to do? We'll do whatever it might be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord is saying this, it's time now to rise up. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up and lift your voice. It's a time now to be heard. Yes, and first, for you to hear you. You to rise up and speak concerning the Word of God. You rise up and say, because in these days and time, I need a people with a voice. I need a people who are strong with their voice to go forward. Yes, and I will anoint that voice. And in these days and times, much will come to pass very quickly because I have anointed the voice of my people who will stand up and speak my Word. And my Word shall go out through the mouth of my people, and they shall produce the things that I desire in the earth, and they will come forth, just as the word says, how to let the rains from heaven falling on the seeds, they shall produce those things. My word shall not return void, but it will accomplish what I send it to do. Yes, and you are my vessels with a voice. Hallelujah. And you speak my words, and I will go forth with you and walk with you, and my voice and power will be with you. Hallelujah. And you will see with your eye and hear with your ear the glory that shall come forth because of my word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.